This is what the non-monetary economy can achieve, short and long term, okay? Ends poverty instantly. Supplies every living person the inalienable right to earn from anything that constitutes work. Enables the re-evaluation of what constitutes work with all its rates. Enables well-paid part-time work for more employees and increased leisure and care time. Removes employers' obligation to pay wages. That's a massive carrot for capitalists because it's a self-contained right. They don't need to pay us. It radicalises employer and employee relationships so that we become bargaining power. It replaces cost-cutting, shoddy production and profit-maximising with fair, flexible, local employment, reducing carbon footprint. It enables full technological development. It refocuses human involvement on intellectual ingenuity and quality of products and service. It expands leisure and conservation as growth industries. Removes the need for economic migration and trafficking. Removes financial implications, prejudice and insecurities towards employment markets where economic migration might continue. It allows beyond optimum employment in all sectors. It expands state beyond optimal employment. It removes the need for state taxation. Reduces dependency on the welfare state by 90 to 95%. It enables students to earn for the work of studying and for their institutions in extracurricular activities. It removes restrictions on housing, manufacturing, health, transport, community and social services. It enables human and economic investment in conservation, eco-friendly farming, green technology and energy. It enables repatriation and rebuilding of communities ravaged by war, natural disaster and austerity. It enables justice for all, replacing privileged legal systems. It allows for everyday people to influence or dictate what public servants do and how they represent them. It removes political minority party power mongering, enables compensation for economic and physical loss caused by deceit in political and commercial manoeuvring. It allows prosecution of people who misused power to cause mass murder, marginalisation, social and racial hatred and discrimination as a warning to anyone who thinks of abusing their representative position. It allows compensation for previous misuse or waste of taxes. You know, like the investments governments have put into countless computer systems that never materialised and companies never even made and then they took them to court. So all of this, the non-monetary economy, because it's not money, can pay back. It prevents national debt and spiralling interest rates. It transforms many international power struggles into mutual cooperation, skills and expertise exchanges. It removes most monetary motives for crime. Imagine how many crimes are motivated by sheer desperation and money gone. And there's lots of examples where people like grow cocaine growers in Honduras, they'd rather grow coffee because it's more profitable. But they can't because they've got no roads, because the cartels won't build them roads. And most importantly as well, it can reward reduction of personal carbon footprint. So if capitalists can keep all the money and tap another market for free, it just won't make any economic sense for them to object. Political power play is empowered by economic power play, hence government dependency on corporate strategies. Evidential economic incentive, then, is the most effective way to break the nihilistic pathology lack of money imposes without violently removing it. What have we got to lose apart from time if we remove the biggest single inhibitor to better dialogue? Capitalists spout the work ethic while luxuriating in the riches of financialisation that affords them their game of Russian roulette with trade and people's livelihoods. Much of that financialisation lies inert, doing precisely nothing except grow or diminish or invest. In 1971, 90% of international financial transactions were related to the real economy, trade or long-term investment, and 10% were speculative. By 1990, the percentages were reversed, and by 1995, about 95% of the vastly greater sums were speculative.
But this abstract numbers game exerts power.
Inasmuch as creeping stagnation in the productive sector continues to provide the flesh on which financialisation feeds, one might have expected Foster and Magdoff to deepen the analysis of the sources of that stagnation. As a result, they were unable to see the attack on real wages or the fraudulent manipulation of credit as responses to those struggles, as counterattacks in a class war.
Neoliberalism works by not only forming monopolies, but then dictating and restricting the access to those monopolies and their effect on the supply to dictate value, illustrated by manipulation of the global market, but also by the value of the euro as a growing economic power against the US dollar. So there's a graphic illustration of this manipulation of neoliberalism. Whilst money is finite and needs to be shared, the non-monetary economy is limitless and simply requires a method of accounting. It does not need distributing. It would retain no intrinsic value and exert no influence until it is used, and hence would avoid all the pitfalls of financialisation and debt-driven markets.
Well, back with another one, eh?
How about a couple of carrots for this rock, Pierre?
Of course.
Keep the change, Doc.
Capitalists would already benefit by A, non-monetary accumulation from trade, so their non-monetary accounts would pile up. The money it saves them in their budgets, because they can use that non-monetary economy to pay for things. Boosted profits, reduced costs of increased productivity, reduced debt dependency, increased low-risk investment, potential reduction or even elimination of monetary taxes, and for them, greater shareholder dividends. So this is what the non-monetary economy offers capitalists, which is what they're motivated by.
Gold! I've struck it rich! I'm a billionaire! I'm a trillionaire! I'm a zillionaire! I'm rich! I'm rich!
What if they can earn a small premium on top simply for facilitating the parallel non-monetary economy? In other words, doing precisely nothing. That's what the non-monetary economy can offer them. Something for nothing. It's not money. 100% of nothing still equals nothing, which is not very appealing for capitalists. Yet, it also means $24 trillion of national debt, and any rate of taxation could, in practical terms, equal nothing. They're not wiped out. They're simply treated for what they are in reality, figures stored on a PCB, affected by other figures stored on a PCB, but only available through the non-monetary market of the 99%. So it's very similar in nature, but the way it works is entirely different. As non-monetary accounts amass and people gradually forget how much they're totting up simply by getting on with the work they need to do each day, work will eventually assume its general meaning instead of the inhibited mental concept defined currently by formal employment. This, by sheer level of engagement, dictates the global market, re-incentivising away from the current industries that focus on short-term monetary and political gain. It's achieved without any frontal assault on capitalism. It even affords the prospect of shared and non-ownership. Massive carrots for governments. It frees them from dependency to indulge corporate agendas, reduces monetary-motivated crime, and supplements a suddenly freed up, beyond optimum employed social services, and around, as I said, 90 to 95% reduction of dependency on the welfare state. Because we all do things every day, don't we? People who are restricted to their beds do things. Somebody who's quite a lazy person has passions, shares it, does things. It's up to society then to decide which of those things are valuable and how they're valuable. But idealism is not the aim. For now, we urgently need to stop the abuse of the disempowered people and the planet and forcing our children to be the grown-ups. To stop carrying corporations and politicians and leave them behind initially. They will follow. Everyday people are not asking for something for nothing. All people want is to live life as productively as possible and a future to live it through. So how do we go about it? That's going to be the subject of the next talk.